Chapter 26. Raymond watched the Queen of Diamonds on top of the squared deck, while his mother spoke to him.
"And Chun Jin will give you a two-piece Soviet Army sniper's rifle with all of its native ballistic markings. It sets nicely into a special bag which you can carry just as though it were a visiting doctor's bag. You'll take it with you to the hotel at Newark. We have come to the end of this terrible road at last, Raymond, darling. After years and years, and so much pain. It will all be over so soon now. We have won the power. And now that they have given it to us, they can just begin to fear. We may reply now, my dearest, for what they have done to you, to me, and to your lovely Josie."
Raymond's mother had banged a charge into her arm just before this session of briefing Raymond, and it most certainly agreed with her. Her magnetic, perfectly spaced blue eyes seemed to sparkle as she talked. Her lithe, solid figure seemed even more superb because of her flawless carriage. She wore a Chinese dressing gown of a shade so light that it complemented the contrasting color of her eyes. Her long and extremely beautiful legs were stretched out before her on the chaise longue, and any man but her son or her husband, seeing what she had, and yet knowing that this magnificent 49-year-old body was only a wasted uniform covering blunted neutral energy, might have wept over such a waste. Her voice, usually that of a hard woman on the make for big stakes, had softened perceptibly as she spoke, because she was pleading, and her voice had new overtones of self-deception. In the years since Raymond had been returned from the army, and shock had been piled upon shock, the sanity-preserving part of her mind, which labored to teach her how to forgive herself and thus save herself, had been working and scheming against the day when she must explain everything to Raymond and expect to receive his forgiveness.
"I am sure you will never entirely comprehend this, darling, and I know the way you are right now. This is like trying to have a whispered conversation with someone on a distant star. But for my own peace of mind, such as that is, it must be said, Raymond, you have to believe that I did not know that they would do what they did to you. I served them. I thought for them. I got them the greatest foothold they will ever have in this country, and they paid me back by taking your soul away from you. I told them to build me an assassin. I wanted a killer who would obey orders from a stock in a world filled with killers. And they did this to you because they thought it would bind me closer to them. When I walked into that room in that Swarden Sanitarium in New York to meet this perfect assassin, and I found that he was my son with a changed and twisted mind, and all the bridges burned behind us. But we have come to the end now, and it is our turn to twist tomorrow for them, because just as I am a mother, before everything else, I am an American second to that. And when I take power, they will be pulled down and ground into dirt for what they did to you, and for what they did in so contemptuously underestimating me."
She took his hand and kissed it with burning devotion. Then she held his face in her hands and stared into it tenderly.
"How much you look like Papa. You have his beautiful hands, and you hold your beautiful head in that same proud, proud way. And when you smile, smile, my darling."
Raymond smiled, naturally and beautifully, under orders. She caught her breath in a gasp.
"When you smile, Raymond, dearest, for that instant I am a little girl again, and the miracle of love begins all over again. How right that seems to me. Smile for me again, sweetheart. Yes. Yes. Now kiss me. Really, really kiss me."
Her long fingers dug into his shoulders and pulled him to her on the chaise, and as her left hand opened the Chinese robe, she remembered Papa and the sound of rain high in the attic when she had been a little girl. And she found again the ecstatic peace she had lost so long, long before.